Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Welcome in. Another week here on the Hoosier Report. Glad to have you with us on this Monday edition of the program. A lot to get to as we start the maybe the summer months, you could say, baseball sectionals this week. We have tons of baseball sectional coverage, play-by-play from both the 4A sectional on Wednesday, Saturday, and the championship games always on Memorial Day, Monday. And then even Thursday night, we're going to have some extra coverage from over at Silver Creek, Providence and Silver Creek, Charlestown and Salem that night. A really big game, Providence and Silver Creek, right out of the gate, so we'll have that broadcast as well. So needless to say, it's going to be a very busy week and tons of local programming for you here right on the Big X. And let's get into the show today. A look at the guest lineup presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany, joining us on this Monday program. Once I go through some of the news and notes of the day here in segment one, in segment two, we will have Zach Osterman. He's the IU insider for the Indianapolis Star, and Zach will join us for some IU basketball discussion, recruiting discussion, baseball season, wrapping up the regular season very soon, hoping to make sure they get a spot in postseason NCAA tournament. So we'll talk about those and more with Zach when he joins us. And then later in the show, every Monday, we hear from Chad Gilbert. He's the Charlestown Athletic Director, also an IHSA executive board member, and a ton of stuff to talk with Chad about. We'll talk some basketball. We'll talk sectional baseball. We'll talk what's going on with some of the IHSA rule changes that have been discussed here over the last couple of weeks. So Chad is offers us the opportunity to go a lot of different directions, and he's kind enough to join us each Monday on the program. That's a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. You can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison and get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. They are presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville, and a ton of stuff to get to today. Actually, some interesting stuff to get to, I think the best way to put it. First off, for baseball, high school baseball coming up this week. I mentioned at the top of the show, all kinds of pitch-by-pitch coverage here on the Big X. We love to get involved with the baseball postseason, enjoy following all the local teams, and have had some fun. Providence, a state championship a couple summers ago. Really a lot of fun here over the last couple years. So look forward to that for sure. The schedule this week, our broadcast schedule this week as far as high school baseball goes. On Wednesday night, we'll set up at Jeffersonville. They are the site of the 4A sectional. It will be Seymour against New Albany and Bedford North Lawrence against Floyd Central in Game 2 that night. So both the locals, New Albany, Floyd Central in action on Wednesday. Then on Saturday, the winner of Seymour, New Albany, Bedford, Floyd Central potentially, and I think favored would be the New Albany-Floyd Central matchup. Both of those teams are favored, I would say, in their first round games. That could be your first matchup on Saturday afternoon. The bye game on Saturday afternoon, the second semifinal, is Jeffersonville and Jennings County. And the championship game, I love this, Memorial Day baseball. We've had some great weather, knock on wood, the last few years on Memorial Day, and it's been great to have some sectional championship coverage on the air. Always look forward to that. Hope that we have a championship game at Jeffersonville that involves two of our three local teams competing in that sectional. Jeff, obviously, as we've discussed, they have, and we're going to talk more sectional baseball later in the week and have some of the coaches on, especially once the action begins on Wednesday night. But I tell you what, Jeff has a real path, easy path to the championship game. Jennings County is a very lackluster team this season. They play them in the bye game. They'll be able to preserve some pitching, rest some arms. They've had some injuries, some nagging injuries to deal with, give some people a little extra time to get healthy, and then they'll play in that championship game, I'm sure, on Monday afternoon. The winner is going to have to – who they're going to face, I should say, in the championship game And I'm talking like Jeff is there. I would bet the house on it. But they're going to have to play either probably a New Albany or Floyd Central team that's going to have to come through a Wednesday night game against Seymour or Bedford, a Saturday game against likely the two rivals. It'll be the third time that New Albany and Floyd Central meet if that happens on Saturday. And, of course, it's been split the first two times. And then, of course, the championship game on Monday. So if you'd asked people early in the season, New Albany was number one. They didn't lose a game forever. I think they were the clear favorite with a number of pitching arms on that staff. But as things have went on, I think it's much more turned into an even sectional. Floyd Central has gotten better as the season has progressed. Jeffersonville has gotten better as well. They have two really good pitchers in Bierman and English that lead the way for the Red Devils. And, of course, the draw and hosting that sectional, a big advantage for Derek Ellis and his team. So it should be a lot of fun. We'll be there again Wednesday, Saturday, and Monday. I expect that the way the schedule will work, we'll have every game of that sectional as a local team should be involved in every game played at Jeff on Wednesday, Saturday, and Monday. So if you can't make it out, make sure you tune in. We'll have pitch-by-pitch coverage. Our team will include P.K. Falkenstein, Lee Kelly, and, of course, myself. We're going to jump to 3A at Silver Creek. I'm excited about this on Thursday, kind of a bonus day for us. The way the bracket drew out on Tuesday at Silver Creek, it's an 8-team sectional, so they'll get started Tuesday with Scottsburg against North Harrison and then Brownstown against Cordon. Those will be the two games on Wednesday. We will not broadcast those games. We'll be back on Thursday. That's when Silver Creek and Providence, the two favorites, are going to square off right out of the gate, and we'll also have Charlestown and Salem on Thursday night as well. So two bonus games on Thursday before we head back to Jeffersonville for the semifinal and the championship rounds on Saturday and Monday. So should be a lot of fun. Again, if you have followed high school baseball, if you're a big basketball fan in the area and you haven't got out and seen any of these players that are going off to Indiana and Louisville and other D1 and really good baseball schools, whether it's local or beyond, the sectional is a great time to do it. Tickets, I think, $5. You can watch normally two games per session. The 4A sectional is going to be great. The 3A sectional should be competitive as well. There's some other good games in the area. The sectionals, I think, are a time to, you know, take the little leaguers out to a game, take the kids out to a game. Concessions are cheap. The weather should be, knock on wood, decent. And, again, sectional baseball week is always fun. It also kind of signals the end of the school year and the end of the high school sports season. As baseball and softball teams get eliminated locally, that will effectively conclude the 2017-18 high school sports season here in the state of Indiana. A couple other notes. IU basketball note, everybody wondering when are we going to hear from Juwan Morgan? Is he going to come back to Indiana? He's really the last big piece out there that I think folks really excited about when they think about the Indiana roster for the upcoming 2018-19 season. The NBA Draft Combine, a big event with representatives from every NBA franchise, took place late in the week, early in the weekend in Chicago, and wrapped up on Sunday. Now, effectively, we're 9 days away from players having to make their decision whether they're going to return to college or not. The deadline to withdraw from the draft for those players who haven't hired an agent, which is the category that Juwan Morgan falls in, is May 30th. And not only Indiana, but several Big Ten programs await, I think, the announcement that could really affect and shape their roster one way or the other. So I would fully expect, based on what is common sense and what we hear and what people talk about on this program, to see Juwan Morgan sometime between now and May 30th announce he intends to resume his college career at Indiana for his senior season. Would be fully shocked if that's not the case. But again, even though he didn't get an invite to the combine, he has had some NBA workouts. You never know when one team, one scout, one organization might like you and make a commitment to you. And it doesn't just have to be in the first or second round. They can also pick you basically through a free agency process if you're not selected in the two-round draft that the NBA will hold in New York City coming up in June. So I would expect Juwan Morgan, I think everybody does, to return to Indiana. But again, it's a wait-and-see decision that we will know for sure by May 30th. We've seen some IU guys in recent years come right out around this time after the combine, especially those that aren't in the combine, and say, hey, I'm coming back. It was a great process, but I'm back at Indiana. And we've seen others take it right up to the deadline and kind of make you scratch your head and wonder what another day or two going through the process, maybe talking to some people, does. But we'll find out for sure the Juwan Morgan verdict by May 30th of this month, coming up here in just 9 days. Also, lots of recruiting stuff. We're always mentioning names. IU has been out on the road two of the weekends in the spring. It's a dead period as far as viewing prospects in an AAU, a travel tournament setting until the month of July. That's when it explodes. There are four periods, basically four extended weekends, when coaches can hit the road, and that's when some of the biggest grassroots events, some of them will be shoe circuit sponsored events, will take place. And, of course, Indiana coaches will join many, many other coaches at various stops around the country. But I do think that we're at a point when the rankings are updated to kind of just take a look back, kind of a snapshot at where IU basketball is at. We know the 2018 class. Archie Miller had some good in-state players, some good out-of-state players, basically a Midwest-type recruiting class for the most part. And then Romeo Langford was the big absolute prize in the final days of that recruiting class to take it to a whole nother level. But when you think ahead to 2019, when you think ahead to all the prospects that we mentioned that have received offers or visits or in-homes or that we know Archie and his staff are watching at some of these tournaments, it's really impressive the number of players in the 2019 class that IU is involved with that are ranked very high nationally. Just to kind of go through the entire list, Matt Hurt, the player from Minnesota that Indiana has basically been recruiting since the staff arrived in Bloomington, he's at the number six spot in the 2019 rankings for 24/7 Sports. Isaiah Stewart, a center, he's up to 15 spots. He's now in the top 10, number eight in the country. Keon Brooks is up seven spots. He's number nine in the country. So just stop right there for a minute. Number six, number eight, number nine. These are players, especially Hurd and Brooks, I feel, that Indiana has been with since the moment that they arrived in Bloomington and seem to be in really good shape with. Does it look like any one of those guys could commit in the next month, but Indiana definitely has put in a lot of work and I would assume continue to do so as they enter their senior year of basketball. Then beyond that, Trendon Watford, a name, especially a last name everyone's familiar with, he's number 17 in the country. Chase Jackson Davis, he's up a few spots in the latest 24/7 Sports rankings. He's at number 21. DJ Carton from out in Iowa, number 23, up 14 spots, up 24 spots. To the number 24 position is Kyra Lewis, a player that Indiana has more recently got involved with. Tyrell Terry, he's at number 88 in the country. Armand Franklin, another in-state player, at number 131. Brandon Newman up at the up a few spots at the 140 national ranking. So, again, that's a number of players. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 11 players in the 2019 class in the top 140 that Indiana is very, very involved with and has been now for some time. Indiana, I think, would have three scholarships open for the 2019 class. That is would include Juwan Morgan coming back and then graduating. Evan Fitzner, a graduate transfer who would graduate or exhaust his eligibility at the end of the season. Then, of course, Romeo Langford's scholarship, as he would be all signs, at least at this early point, would expect him to declare for the NBA draft. So I do think that we're at a point where the spring season is ending. The summer season will soon begin. Actually, in June, players will go back in most states, play with their high school teams before rejoining their AAU teams later in June, early in July for the big live month when coaches can be on the road. But I do think it's really impressive to look at the number of players ranked nationally that Indiana is involved with. Some of those names, not as much as others, obviously, but that, especially the top half of that list, Indiana from DJ Carton and up have been really involved, and that would be the number 23 spot, Carton, and up all the way to number 6 spot at Matt Hurd. Very, very involved with those guys, and by no means they may not land any of them, but to be this involved this early for the players, and Keon Brooks to be speaking publicly positive about Indiana the way he is, I would say it's a really good sign that Archie Miller's 2018 class, even with Romeo Langford, could continue to improve 2019, both in-state and beyond, with some of the players that Indiana is involved with. Got a text yesterday from Scott Chalk. He's the coach of the Kentucky All-Star, the boys team. He also is the game director for the Kentucky Association of Basketball Coaches. There are still 500 tickets left for the game at Bellarmine. That's the girls' game and the boys' game on Friday, June 8th. Tickets are available at KentuckyBasketballCoaches.org. It's a really simple process. I bought some tickets for some family last week. Easy to go through. Just click buy tickets. You purchase them with your credit card or debit card. They email you the tickets. You can print them. You can show them on your smartphone as you go through the gate. But there's been rumors that the game sold out. I've seen people on social media. I've had people ask me, hey, that game sold out. Are you guys going to broadcast it on the radio? There are still 500 tickets left. I think everybody knew that Bellarmine is very small, just 2,100 and something seats, and assumed that tickets would be extremely hard to come by. But there are 500 tickets left. I'm sure between now and the game, obviously some walk-up people for the game that Friday, it's going to be sold out. But if you want a ticket, if you want to go see Romeo and Sean and some of the other local kids of interest in that game, and what should be a really competitive game in Indiana, an opportunity to win two more against Kentucky, I would think, get your tickets. Go to KentuckyBasketballCoaches.org. That's the KABC website. Click on buy tickets. And again, a real simple process. So it would be really neat to see Bellarmine sold out. It's obviously not as big as the facility that the game will be played in on the Indiana side, which is Bankers Life Fieldhouse in downtown Indianapolis. They get 8,000 to 10,000 people for that game year in and year out. Still means a lot on the Indiana side, but I think big improvement on the Kentucky side, even though it's maybe a lot of Romeo and Southern Indiana people going over, would be to see Bellarmine sold out. So log on now, 500 tickets left. It's been kind of steady at that number for a week or so, so make sure you get on, buy your tickets, have your tickets ready to go for the game on Friday, June 8th at Bellarmine. One more time, it's KentuckyBasketballCoaches.org. You click on buy tickets. It's right there at the center, the top of the webpage. Very simple process to go through. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopsters Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights, a live band on Saturday nights. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. Don't forget the 2018 Big X Sports Radio golf cards are hot off the presses. This year's card features Chariot Run, Polo Fields, Woodhaven Country Club, South Park Country Club, Henry County Country Club, Elk Run, Valley View, and Christmas Lake in Santa Claus, Indiana. You can play these great courses under $20 per round. It's the perfect Father's Day gift if you've got the 2018 Big X Sports Radio golf card. Some of these courses are private. You can only play if you're a member, or if you've got this Big X Sports Radio golf card. Not many left. Make sure you call or log on today, 812-725-1457. Again, 812-725-1457, or visit BigXSportsRadio.com. It's a great gift. Not many left. They sell out every year. Never have they sold out as early as they're anticipated to this year. So make sure you log on today and take care of that. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Zach Osterman. He's the IU insider for the Indianapolis Star. We'll have some fun basketball talk about the Hoosiers, maybe a little baseball talk as well. Stay with us for that. Chad Gilbert later in the hour, the Charlestown Athletic Director and IHSA board member, will be with us. So a lot of Southern Indiana talk coming your way with that segment as well. We'll be back with more on a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we are back here, Monday edition of the Hoosier Report. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star joins us here on the program, and we're going to talk some IU baseball, a little IU basketball today. And Zach sent me a text just before we came back from the commercial break and said he may be a little quieter than normal, not as animated as normal, because he has a cute sleeping baby right next to him. So, Zach, if you have to whisper a little bit, we understand.
Well, either that or he's going to be on this call. It could go either way. He's still learning how to take naps.
It wouldn't be the first time. Jared Morris's daughter told us she loves oranges on the radio one Friday as she was eating her afternoon snack. But great to have you. Baseball, college baseball, I do not follow it closely. Do enjoy keeping up with IU and having Coach Lemonis on a couple times a year. And, of course, a lot of guys from Southern Indiana that play their high school ball here have went across the river and had really successful careers at Louisville. So it's been interesting to track them and Coach McDonald's success there as well. But I got to tell you, when the game gets to the postseason, and we're just around the corner from that, by TV, any free moment is on college baseball. It's very, very entertaining to watch, and excited that maybe some of the slower time as we enter June with the big basketball recruiting month, July, obviously, that some college baseball World Series action not too far away.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Big Ten tournament. It affects, I think, all the conference tournaments of this week. And it's funny, we got a chance to talk to Lemonis this morning because they're leaving for Omaha, where the Big Ten tournament will also be held, I think, either tonight or maybe first thing tomorrow. And he said that kind of at the tail end of the slump that Indiana was on, they played a three-game weekend series at Nebraska, and on the way to Lincoln, they stopped in Omaha at TD Ameritrade Field, and he just kind of had his team walk the field, and then he got them together, and he said, you know, don't forget how much you still have to play for. Somebody's going to be piling on that mound in 2 weeks, and then in five more weeks, or, you know, three more weeks, somebody else is going to be piling on that mound again. It sneaks up on you how quickly it comes on, but it is absolutely that time of year.
Let's take a look at the Big Ten tournament. Indiana, the number 5 seed. The tournament actually is in Omaha. They will play Illinois at 10 p.m. on Wednesday, coming up here in a few days. The Hoosiers swept Maryland in 3 games over the weekend, winning the final game 13-3 over the Terrapins on the baseball field. Big Ten tournament, where does Indiana fit into things? And tell us about their opening matchup against Illinois.
So they're fifth of 8 teams, and I'll confess to not knowing exactly how the Big Ten standings turned out, but they kind of were in the thick of this sort of 3-4 team logjam right in the middle. They'll open with the 4 seed Illinois actually at 10 p.m. tomorrow, Wednesday night, which is 9 p.m. local because obviously Omaha's on Central Time. And they won they played the only series that they faced Illinois in Bloomington this weekend, or excuse me, this season. And if I'm reaching back in my memory correctly, they lost the opener and then won the next two. Both of the first two games were tight games, one run games. Then Indiana kind of opened things up on Sunday. But Illinois is just, it's a good club. Dan Hartlove has been there for years and years and years. And I'm talking about at Illinois. You know, he had them in a super regional a couple of years ago, hosting in Champaign. And he's always just kind of been able to, even if Illinois has maybe not been, you know, elite, they've always been one of the more consistently competitive Big Ten squads under his direction. And this year's kind of the same. They play really good defense. They've got a pitching staff, gets a lot of ground balls, which obviously plays into that defense. And from Indiana's perspective, it's going to kind of maybe be one of those, you know, one of those games that rewards patience a little bit. And you're also going to need, as you ever need, a strong start. I'm assuming Jonathan Stever, who's been Indiana's Friday night starter all year, will get the start. You're also going to need a strong start from John Stever to keep yourself from jumping right into the loser's bracket.
Talking with Zach Osterman, he's the IU insider for the Indianapolis Star and kind enough to join us Mondays to talk IU basketball and more here on the show. IU season, they started off, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, because, again, I've paid attention from a distance, probably talking the most about the baseball team with you this season when you've been with us, but they started off really strong, had some rough moments at some later parts of the season in conference play, I think, didn't they?
Yeah, I can't remember, and again, I'm not right in front of my computer because that's where the baby is, and so I'm trying to remove myself from him a little bit, but it was either like 8 of 10 or 9 of 11 they lost, and a couple were ugly losses. A lot of them were close losses. You know, I mean, they could have picked up a really big RPI win at home against Kentucky, but they lost by 2 runs. You know, it looked like that Nebraska series, which kind of has wound up being a little bit of a pivot point, started off poorly. They lost the Friday night game in that series, and they just, you know, I mean, they really – they kind of, at one point, were certainly in regional host conversation, maybe even pushing national seed conversation, which means if you're a top 8 seed, you would also host a super regional if you won your regional. They've slipped pretty far away from that now. I think if they were to win the Big Ten tournament and just kind of blow through it, it's possible they could move back into regional consideration, but it looks more likely that they're going to be a 2 or a 3 seed at this point. But, again, they've won 6 straight. They won the last 2 against Nebraska. Then they took a big one against a ranked Louisville team on the road midweek, and then they swept Maryland, as you said. And that's at least kind of, I think, at this point, fortified their NCAA tournament status insofar as I don't know that they can play their way out of the NCAA tournament anymore. But I don't, they're kind of in that weird, you know, at large nexus between hosting a regional and not being in it all. And I think what you're looking at most likely right now, unless Indiana did really just kind of go to Omaha and put a massive stamp on things, win the tournament, win it with some comfort, you're probably looking at them having to go on the road again for another regional this year.
Zach Kostrom, an Indianapolis Star, with us here on this Monday program. I do want to talk a little basketball with you today. I mentioned a few things in the first segment, some headlines as we entered the program this week. First was kind of a summary. Now that the spring season is over with, and the recruiting period, the 2 weekends that the coaches could be out has come and gone, really slowed down other than some visits, and I think they can contact players at certain times between now and the July period. But that's when it'll pick back up. The shoe circuits all have their finale. July has been known forever, as long as I've been around the game, as the month for recruiting to see where the coaches are at and who performs the best. And a lot of players' stock rises and has dropped even in the month of July as now. But as we kind of take a pause in between the spring session of travel basketball and the big summer session that awaits in July, looking at the updated 24/7 sports rankings for the 2019 class, all the way from Matt Hurt, Minnesota player, up at number 6, down to Brandon Newman, who was number 140 in the country. In between that, a number of players Indiana is very involved with. Some of those players, like Matt Hurt and Keon Brooks and Trendon Watford, Trace Jackson Davis, Indiana has been involved with basically from the first day that Archie Miller and his staff arrived in Bloomington. So to see, not that player rankings mean everything, but to see that Indiana is involved with this many nationally ranked players in the top 10, in the top 20, in the top 50, even the top 100 or so, really, I think Indiana's in some good situations right now as far as the recruiting process with a lot of players, both in the state and beyond.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I think, you even talk about point guards, DJ Carton is in the mix there, and it seems like Michigan may be in pole position with him, but Indiana is still one of his finalists. And his name is completely slipping my mind all of a sudden. The point guard from Alabama that they offered seems to be pretty big the rankings as well in the spring. And I think recruiting-wise, what will be interesting to watch for Indiana is whether or not they can land, you know, maybe at least one summer commitment. And more you do see elite players in particular holding off. You know, that it feels like we see fewer elite players committing well in advance of, you know, that fall signing period during their senior year. But in Indiana, Indiana took, four commitments last summer, if you include Race Thompson, who reclassified. They don't maybe necessarily need as big of a class this year as they probably needed last year, because they have a much smaller outgoing senior class. Although if Juwan Morgan comes back and Romeo Langford's a one and done, there is a lot of talent potentially going out the door after 2018-19. But Indiana can afford, I think, to be a little bit more selective. I'm just curious, you know, you look at a guy like Trace Jackson Davis, for example, there's been a lot of legwork put into that recruitment, and he's clearly got a strong feel for the program. He's visited a lot of times. He's always had very, very good things to say about Archie Miller and Indiana. You kind of wonder if maybe Trace Jackson Davis or Keon Brooks or somebody like that, if you're Indiana, do you maybe try to position yourself for at least one summer commitment just to get the ball rolling and to get that class kind of feeling fortified? Because you're right. I mean, Indiana's in a really good position with a lot of guys, but you know as well as I do that, you know, there's always two or three teams every year that we could say that about in May, and then we get to October and, you know, all of their leads have dried up and everybody just wound up feeling more comfortable going somewhere else. And all of a sudden, you know, all that May optimism is kind of out the window. So I'm not saying Indiana needs a summer commitment by any means, but I am interested to see if, especially given how lucrative last summer was for Indiana on the recruiting trail in 2018, and I suppose stroke 2017 with Race Thompson, I'm curious to see if maybe there isn't a pin that will fall, you know, sometime between now and say the start of next, you know, high school season or high school year, I should say, not season, but, you know, August, September.
Zach Kostrom, an Indianapolis Star, my guest. I guess when you think ahead to 2019, at this early point, especially with the number of players very talented in that class from Indiana, start throwing around all these names. And I gave the list of all the guys in the top 140, according to at least 24/7 Sports earlier. Keep in mind, I think it's safe to say Indiana probably would only have three scholarships for 2019. Juwan Morgan, that's assuming he returns for this final season. Evan Fitzner, the recent addition that's a graduate transfer that has 1 year. And then, of course, Romeo. I think all signs indicate, at least from the early projections, that he would give the NBA a shot after 1 year of Big Ten basketball at Indiana. So a number of prospects, but you're right. It doesn't always translate into commitments and those sorts of things. But still, with as serious as Indiana seems to be, just with in-state guys like Keon Brooks and Chase Jackson Davis, when you think you only have three, they're involved with quite a number of top-level players that seem to like the Hoosiers and seem to be wanting to hear more from Archie Miller here as they enter their senior years.
Yeah, and, you know, that can maybe be part of the strategy for trying to see if you can, you know, land a commitment earlier than expected or get maybe somebody to move over in the summer. It's just to say, hey, if you're serious about Indiana, you know we're serious about you. But this isn't going to be the biggest class in the world. You know, we're only graduating two seniors. You never know. And no one down here hopes this ever happens, obviously. But what if Romeo Langford comes in and suffers an injury and winds up feeling like he needs to come back for a sophomore season to really sort of reboost his draft stock? Well, then all of a sudden that class gets smaller. I wouldn't expect it to be any bigger than four players, you know, because you never know if a guy's going to transfer out or anything like that. But you're right, at this point, they're trending for three. I would always leave just that maybe that fourth spot in case Indiana has to deal with a transfer. But I also don't think this is a staff that's going to really oversign a lot. I don't think this is a staff that's kind of obsessed with having a full roster all the time. They were perfectly willing to go into last season with only 12 scholarship players until the Rafe Thompson reclassification situation kind of sprung up in the summer. So I think if there is maybe going to be some movement this summer, that might be part of the reason why, is that if you're Indiana, you can kind of look at it and say, hey, you know, this isn't going to be the biggest class in the world. If you really want to be a part of it, you know, let's go. But, you know, as a coach, you're always going to be careful when to apply that kind of pressure, because, you know, if it's applied the wrong way or to the wrong player or whatever, it can obviously very easily backfire on you as well.
Zach, a final question for you today. And I know you've been around IU and Indiana for a while now, but growing up as a kid in the state, I remember going to the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Games, sometime the Louisville game, sometime the Indianapolis side of the game, where Indiana fans would proudly wear their cream and crimson gear and cheer on future Hoosiers that were participating in that game. And there have been some years recently where Indiana hasn't had an All-Star, or maybe they've had an All-Star, but it's not Mr. Basketball. And then, of course, you go back to Cody Zeller, they did have Indiana's Mr. Basketball. But I think with all the interest that we've seen in Romeo Langford and his career and, of course, his recruitment and how big the turnout was for his decision to attend Indiana and kind of what a storybook high school basketball career it was, I sense a real uptick in interest. It's summer basketball, fans missing the college and the high school seasons a bit when we get to early June. I know that there's 500 or less tickets remaining at Bellarmine for that side of the game. Bankers Life, obviously, to sell that out would be quite a long shot, although I do expect an uptick in attendance there. But I don't know, it just seems like as we begin to think about the game and talk to the coaches a little bit here, that there's more interest in that game than what it typically exists for, you know, the late part of May, the middle part of May.
Yeah, I think you might be right. And I'll admit that I haven't asked anybody at Bankers Life about ticket sales or whatever. But I do think in a broader sense, you do need, you know, I think about not just the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series, but like the Derby Festival Classic, which I know didn't happen this year, unfortunately. You know, events like that are always going to be driven by interest from the area fan bases. Right now, Indiana's, which, look, I'm not trying to get into some shouting match between Indiana fans, Purdue fans, Butler fans, whatever, but in this state, you would imagine Indiana has the largest, just, you know, sheer quantity fan base in terms of total number of people that would identify themselves as IU basketball fans. That fan base is obviously very, very active and interested right now. There's a lot of reason to be encouraged for next season. You're going to have not just Romeo Langford in those games, but Robert Finney is going to be in those games. I believe Andy Anderson is, in fact, I know he's going to be in those games. I don't know why I said I believe. I know he's an All-Star. So for the first time in a little while, you're right. I mean, I can remember, I mean, last year Indiana didn't have an All-Star. 2 years ago, they only had one. That was Grant Gaylon. And this year with it being not just three All-Stars, but also one of them being Romeo Langford, such a high-profile signee, a Mr. Basketball, all of those different things, I think that's always going to kind of gee the Indiana fans up a little bit more. But I think that maybe this one in particular, because of what I think a lot of people hope Romeo Langford represents long-term for the program, it does feel like this one is maybe going to be even a little bit more juiced than we've seen in recent years.
Zach Ostrom, an Indianapolis Star, with us Mondays, the IU insider for the Stars, talking IU basketball and more here on the Hoosier Report. It sounds like we successfully made it through the segment without waking your young baby, so I hope that was a success. And, Zach, as always, thanks for taking time out to be with us this week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me as ever. He is still asleep. Good. So we've accomplished our mission.
Good news. Get back to writing, okay, while you can.
I'll do it. Okay. Thanks, Matt.
Zach Ostrom, an Indianapolis Star, Mondays on the Hoosier Report, talking IU basketball and more. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Chad Gilbert. Chad is the Charlestown Athletic Director, former Jeffersonville Boys and Girls Basketball Coach, and IHSA Executive Board Member. He joins us Mondays. We talk through a lot of local headlines, and we'll talk some sectional baseball and a lot of other things. So stay with us for that coming up here on a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back here on a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report, Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director, IHSA Executive Board Member, joins me. We always talk Southern Indiana sports headlines on Monday. And Chad, as the school year wraps up, graduation going to start taking place across the area here in another week, week and a half or so. The high school sports season will soon come to a close, but before it comes to a close, we've got some really good stuff. Softball sectionals getting underway, some tonight across the area. Baseball sectionals, kind of the focal of the spring and the summer sports. That begins later this week on Wednesday. There should be some really, really good sectional action this week across the area.
Matt, you hit the nail right in the head. It's an exciting week. Anytime a tournament goes on, kids are playing for their lives out there. Coaches are coaching everything they've got. And their whole season, their whole year has built up to this point. We actually played tonight at Cordon first game, so we're excited about that. And it's a busy, busy week. You know, you've got track regional this week, softball sectionals ramping up, and then a baseball sectional at the end of the week. It's a big time. You know, it's hard this time of year to keep kids focused because they see that light at the end of the tunnel. They know they're graduating. You know, and seniors, you know, they want to leave their best effort on the way out. And juniors, sophomores, freshmen, they want to play their best for their seniors, you know, to go out on a positive note. But today's the last day that the last Monday that kids will be in school this school year. So it's unbelievable how quick it goes by. Now, that being said, this isn't the last Monday for teachers and coaches. They go all year. I'm filling out a transportation form for the summer for our mid buses going out to play at different tournaments and different events. And the month of June is busier as far as transportation goes than any month throughout the year.
You know, we got to talk about the matchups. I know we've spent some time already talking about Providence and Silver Creek. Your Pirates also play in that 3A sectional. We've also talked about Jeffersonville hosting the 4A sectional. Jeff and New Albany, kind of the favorites, I'd say, on paper at that sectional. But, you know, beyond that, I think about 4A, and Floyd Central has gotten better with every week of the season that has passed. I know Bedford is competitive as well. Also in the 3A sectional, your Charlestown team by Coach Romans, they are improving, and they will be a challenge for if they're able to get past their first-round matchup on Thursday for the winner of that Providence and Silver Creek game. So sometime the big matchups that we all like to hype up and talk about in the newspaper or on the radio leading up to the big baseball or basketball games maybe are great games, maybe end up being great games, but sometime the favorite after that still doesn't go on to win the thing.
Oh, you're exactly right. And baseball's the craziest sport out of all of them, Matt, because you can hit the ball right on the nose and just, you know, smack it, but it's right at somebody. So it's a crazy sport. It just takes a few errors here, home run there, and you can sneak an upset, because this isn't the Major League Baseball, the World Series, or the NBA, or the hockey, where it's best of seven, best of five. This is one and done. Loser goes home. So you just got to be the best team on that night. Now, with that being said, you know, if the best teams win, I think in all these sectionals, which is, you know, the best teams on paper, I should say, win, they've got a chance to go pretty deep in the state tournament, you know, with what they've got. But again, you got to be good and you got to be lucky.
Chad Gilbert joining us as we talk Southern Indiana sports headlines here on this Monday program. I tell you what, June basketball, you are well qualified to talk about that as a former girls and boys basketball coach at Jeffersonville. And the month of June, I know a lot of teams will play at New Albany. A lot of teams will play across the river. Some teams will go out of town on the weekend for various tournaments and events that might take place in other parts, or a lot on college campuses, kind of an experience to go play on a campus and stay the night there with your team as well. But that all takes place in June. And when I think about boys basketball, at least, June has been, over the last few years that I've been around, a month to kind of gauge things. Everybody normally gets to play. You don't see coaches playing just the, you know, their best five, six kids. Everybody gets a chance to fit in. Sometime the rosters change. Maybe a good player's got another commitment or is out and gone, or in another basketball camp or opportunity. But June has always been interesting to me to get a real early preview and find out some players that maybe have moved or transferred or emerged for whatever reason over the between the time the season ends and the start of June basketball. How did you address it as a coach when you were at Jeffersonville on the boys and girls sides of things? What did you use the month of June for? Because the scores aren't in the paper. There aren't a lot of fans, although there are some that come to the games in June, especially the games that are local. But what did you use it for as a coach? What was kind of your reason for entering some of the leagues and tournaments to see your team get better for the regular season?
You know, the best thing that we did with it, and it was older, when I first got into it, I thought, man, we got to play every weekend. We got to play this. We got to do everything that we can to keep up with the Joneses. We got to keep getting better. We got to go to all these things. I thought the older we got coaching, the better it was to go on college campuses and see different things. I thought it was a great travel experience for the coaches and the players to kind of see behind the scenes at some different colleges. I thought playing in the backyard was good because that threw the kids a bone, because we worked it pretty hard up there. You know, we went 3 days a week and then did weights 4 days a week, and we come in at 7 in the morning and got it done. And I thought playing at night, that would kind of throw the kids a bone a little bit for all their hard work. But as a coach, you know, you want to keep your kids' confidence. You want to play in anything you do. You know, you want to win. It doesn't matter if it's that or tiddlywinks or whatever else. You're going out and trying to win those things. But you're trying. You don't get to cut down nets in June. So you're trying to build upon it, and you're trying to show kids, hey, this is why you're not playing, as well as other kids showing you this is why I should be able to play. So you kind of work both ways for that, and I thought that was pretty good, a pretty good advantage of it. But the more we went on to it, the more we coached, the less we played in those tournaments. Like you said, we did most of them just to get kids an opportunity as a reward for all the hard work they put in throughout the year. So it is good, and it does a lot of good things, but it's something that you can kill yourself as a coach just running all over and you not get a break. And it's something that how much better can you get? It's like when you see these kids on Facebook, whatever, showing their rings and driving to E-Town and doing all that. How many more cuts could you get just being in the backyard and your dad hitting you ground balls or your dad throwing you some BP? How many more reps could you get shooting in the driveway as opposed it took you to get to Indianapolis for a tournament that you shot the ball six times in three tournament games? So, you know, you got to figure out what works best for you and go with it. And as a coach, you're trying to put your program together where you're successful at all levels and then really be playing your best basketball or your best sport, whatever that be, at tournament time.
Chad, you and I talk a lot on and off air about the game of basketball here in the area specifically. And again, I'm a believer in AAU and very involved in that for local teams, you know, local kids coming up. So I see benefits. I see negatives. I know at the higher levels where the shoe companies involved, are involved greatly with these big-time prospects, that there can be some things that kind of make you cringe at times. But I was in Chicago over the weekend for an NBA summit, basically, on youth basketball and how maybe things could look in the future with the NBA and even the NCAA getting more involved in youth basketball, grassroots basketball, as it is more commonly termed. And one of the things, and I talked with you about this a few weeks ago, Pat Graham was on the show. We kind of laughed about some of his memories from out at the playground. There's been talk about the new Romeo Langford court that's going to be a first-class outdoor facility at the new park in New Albany. But I can't tell you the number of times, starting off on Friday morning in Chicago, Grant Hill, he's on that the Rice Commission that is kind of hoping to reshape college basketball with all the FBI scandal type stuff that's been out over the last couple months, or before the season, I should say. I can't tell you the number of times, starting with Grant Hill on Friday at this conference, at these meetings with NBA front office people there, with college coaches there, with youth basketball people there, that the word or the type of basketball, unstructured basketball, open gym basketball, outdoor basketball came out. And you think about when you grew up, how important going to the park was, learning the game yourself, correcting your mistakes, figuring out how to be a better shooter, in open play and in games where you didn't want to lose, because if you lost, your team had to leave the court. And there were so many people there that you may not get back on for 30 minutes or an hour. There was a lot of talk about, you know, all this organized stuff is great. The exposure is great for kids, not the young kids. Some of it's silly when they start ranking kids and 8th and 7th and 6th grades, especially as you get younger. But how much is some of the unstructured play and the open gym type stuff, the old school basketball things that used to be allowed and popular and happen without all the lights and the college coaches and the AAU tournaments, how important could that still be maybe in a new youth basketball marketplace with some changes that could come in the next few years?
You know, I think everything cycles around. I think basketball cycles around. I think education cycles around. That it always goes back to where it came from. Hopefully it'll get back to that point. You know, because if you think about it, you drive around New Albany or Jeffersonville or Charlestown, Sellersburg. How many times have you seen a kid in the driveway just shooting or playing two-on-two? When we were growing up, again, I talked about last week, we played at John Seabolt's house. His parents put up a fence so the ball wouldn't go all the way down the hill if it went out of bounds. We had to take it back and touch the barn. You know, my cousin Keith had a dome ball thing. He had two goals on forklifts where you could adjust. They were basically guerrilla goals, full court at the shop. But we play 5-on-5 with older guys that would make you better. And I think, you know, if you can get more older guys involved that are graduates that come back with that school, I think they create a relationship with that student, with that athlete, with that school. I think that helps your attendance during games as well to come around. But it's kind of disheartening. You know, you never see anybody in the yard throwing the football anymore. I'd be curious how many kids have ever played hot box. You know, we used to play that constantly, or, you know, double or nothing, pitcher's hand. We played that constantly. You know, in my driveway, we'd have six people over, play 2-on-2. My sister Darcy would be sitting in the truck bed keeping stats. You know, so we had stats after the game where you had to take it back to the crack, you know, in order to, on a, if it didn't hit the rim. So just a lot of stuff that I think kids miss out on those things. Now, the things that we have now, are they awesome? Are they great? Absolutely. You know, you just finished up another session of Hoosier Hills Hoops, which is outstanding. It provides a great service to kids. But, you know, doing that, are those kids going home after those games and spending more time shooting free throws or spending time shooting with their dad or shooting with their brother or their mom or whatever else? That's where you get better. When our coach used to say, everybody's practicing. Anybody that's good is really doing the same thing we're doing. We're practicing organized for 2.5 hours and getting after it. What are you going to do extra to make yourself better? And that's where, you know, you got to – you as an individual, you as a family member, you got to decide those things for yourself and figure out what's going to put my son or what's going to put myself in the best position to be successful.
Talking with Chad Gilbert, he's the Charlestown Athletic Director, IHSA board member, joins us Mondays here on the program. Yeah, interesting stuff. No question that there's some movement out there, both with youth level, even the young kids, all the way up to the kids like a Romeo Langford that is getting recruited by all sorts of colleges, where I think you'll see the NBA. They've had some other youth basketball initiatives. iHoops was one of them. There have been a couple that have popped up over the years. Nothing has stuck, but this is a real commitment that they have now. You can just tell from the commissioner all the way down to see their front office people interacting with youth basketball people and the number of people they brought to the table for this. So for guys like you and I, and I know a lot of people in Southern Indiana that follow all this stuff, I think that we could be on the brink maybe as this FBI investigation continues. We kind of wait to see the finality of it and, of course, what the NCAA does at the conclusion of that. But with everything that's transpired in basketball at all levels that's been somewhat negative over the last couple of years, I think we could really be on the brink of some changes affecting, again, not just the upper-level players that are in these shoe circuits and playing for these shoe-sponsored teams, but all the way down even to the youth ages where USA Basketball as a governing body is much more involved in what happens and what the teachings are for kids like it is overseas in some of the foreign countries that, you know, for a while, and I heard from Jerry Colangelo on Saturday, he was the speaker to kick things off Saturday morning. He's the guy that orchestrated the comeback of USA Basketball. But for a while, the international people were dominating the game at the Olympics and other, you know, international youth tournaments, and that's beginning to change.
Oh, no question about it. You know, you think about those international games. I remember a guy I used to watch. I was right out of high school, right in college, Oscar Schmidt. You know, how he, you know, played and just lit up the American team. You know, he's from Brazil. Every time he stepped on the court, just outstanding basketball. I think, you know, the more it came on, the more us in USA Basketball saw, hey, you know, we got to kind of evolve a little bit and go to something that's going to make us still be the top dog. And, you know, and saying that, you know, that was an outstanding clinic you went to in Chicago. I wish I could have been able to go with you on that one. But that says a lot about Matt Dennison. He's trying to do what's best for Southern Indiana basketball, not just USA basketball. To go to Chicago and be part of something like that and bring that back to Southern Indiana to implement in the Hoosier Hills Hoops League and the other leagues and give different ideas about things coming down the pipe in the near future, that it's going to be great stuff, and it's going to make kids better, and it's going to turn that corner and make basketball, you know, and really shine the light on basketball and being such a great sport.
Very kind. Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director, IHSA board member, will talk with you next week.
Matt, I appreciate you. One thing, you know, good luck to all the teams. Good luck to the hosts this week who are hosting these events. We, you know, we talked about Coach Romans. He added two games. We're playing Greensburg tonight, Clarksville later on this week to prepare for the sectional. And that's something, you know, that coaches are just trying to get games in because of the weather. And hopefully we have good weather this week and get this sectional over with.
Absolutely. Chad, thank you. We will head out. We'll be back tomorrow, 11 a.m., right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.